No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show, which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host Kathleen Gomez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the conversation by calling in at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Or Skype us at BBS Radio 1. Today, we are lucky to have a very special guest with us, Don Kimble. Don is a third-generation rancher from Arizona who runs his family ranch with his wife, Lynn, and we are very happy to have him with us today to discuss some of the issues we've been talking about over the last several months on our show, especially border security. We don't get a chance to talk to a guy like Don very often, so please let us hear from you and give us your questions. Before we start, let me introduce my co-host, Kathleen, who is back in Arizona. I think you're back in Arizona these days, Kathleen.
Yeah,
you're all
I'm
over the
here.
Place.
I know.
You're like
I'm here.
San Diego. Where in the world is Kathleen Gomez?
It's like so I'm a thanks. Bad penny that keeps on coming up.
You keep on turning up. First, before we introduce Don, let me since one of the purposes, primary purposes of this show is to spread the word about our disenfranchised nature here in the District of Columbia, let me just give you a quick rundown on what's going on the statehood front. Since President Obama said of D.C. statehood, I'm for it, we've gotten 24 new co-sponsors on the D.C. statehood bill in the House of Representatives, bringing the number to 91, an increase of more than 35%. And we add that to the 15 senators in the House, and we have 106 co-sponsors for the new Columbia Admission Act, and Congress is on break right now, so we haven't, nothing has changed in the last few weeks. Of course, they haven't been able to interfere with any of our lives in the last few weeks, so hooray, and they'll be back in September, so we hope to move things and get a hearing in September. But now I'll turn it over to Kathleen, and she can introduce our guest, and we hope you'll listen and call in with your questions. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Yes, I'm really happy to introduce Mr. Don Kimble from my parts of the area. His ranch is really kind of like on the Mexico, New Mexico-Arizona border. Beautiful, beautiful country. And in fact, I don't know, I read somewhere that Mr. Kimble, on your ranch, it's presumed that's where Geronimo surrendered, I think, is what I read. Is that true?
Yeah. Our ranch is by the Geronimo surrender. We've been there around that, and where they captured Geronimo was probably about 3 miles from our house.
Wow.
It's a very beautiful historic place. And the one reason I have to thank my father, Dr. Mike Gomez, for getting me your phone number is that we've talked a lot about border security. And, you know, part of coming back from Washington, you know, I was on the East Coast, coming back to live in Douglas, I realized that things had changed so much since I was growing up there. I used to think of it, I still think it is the best of both worlds, but it's a total different type of issues now. You have the Colombia cartels and it's not just the local mafia. These are hardened, terrible criminals, the coyote trafficking, the impact that all this has that I want you to talk about later on, about the environmental impact on this beautiful land that I'm talking about, and also the financial impact to the people who live on the border, because with so much of this fear and you know, the bad publicity has made it very difficult for people to have a living who, you know, rely on tourism or people coming down to spend their money or coming from Mexico. So maybe, Mr. Kimball, you know, one of the things I think is that politicians, you know, we've seen them come to Douglas for an hour or two, especially after, I know you, your dear friend Mr. Krentz was killed. That was about 4 years ago. You know, all of a sudden it was a big issue. People would come from everywhere for, you know, I think it was the first time in my life I saw McCain, Kyle. I mean, most of the major Arizona politicians were actually in Douglas. I never remember them even visiting Douglas. They come for an hour or two, they go, and then as we see now, we have these ads saying, this candidate knows what to do for border security, and I don't think they have a clue. And that's why I'd like to give you the floor to talk about how it, what it is today and what it's like being a rancher and what you see every day.
Well, it doesn't change much. The drug cartels are trafficking their drugs, and they try to go through our places as quietly and as without bothering anything as much as they can, because they don't want to be seen or they don't want to be known for tearing anything up. They just want to get their product to the highway so someone can pick it up in a car and go. The other people that come, that are wanting to come for a job and stuff, the coyotes bring them, 10 miles from the border and turn them loose, point to portal down the way. And when they point to portal, they tell them that right there is Phoenix, and they turn them loose, and they've taken these people's life savings and just taken it away from them and turn them loose. And these people walk into our house sore-footed and hungry and thirsty, and they've been walking for 4 or 5 days with no water. And it's unhumanitarian. It's terrible for the people that just are looking for a better way of life, and they're wanting to come up here, make some money, take it back to Mexico. The same people, if they could, would participate in a deal like they used to have when I was a young man. They had a bracero program where people could come get a permit for 30 to 60 days and come out and work on farms and ranches. And you just paid a nominal fee for the permit. They came out and worked, took their money back home. They came out and did jobs that you weren't going to get any gringos to do, and that worked really well. And these people that are coming, they come and they don't know which way to go. They get dropped off by the coyotes, so then as they go and the farther they walk, the hotter it gets. Pretty soon they drop their backpacks, their clothing items, anything that's too heavy to carry. Pretty soon they're down to just themselves and a water jug, and then it gets empty. And then they start looking for people like us for help. And well, we've helped lots of people, gave them food and water, tried to help them out that way. And that's what happened to Rob Krentz. Rob Krentz was the type of guy that would give you the shirt off his back. He saw this man laying down there in the grass, and he was out checking his water on his ranch, and he turned to go down there. He thought maybe this guy was sick or bad shape or something, and when he got close enough to see the guy good, the guy just stood up and shot Rob 6 or 7 times in the chest, killed him. He undoubtedly was part of the drug situation, because the normal type people that are coming, they don't have weapons. All they want to do is get a job. But when they do that, and they're coming and they drop everything, they drop a lot of trash. When they're terrible thirsty, they get to our troughs and they might break a float off or cut a hole in the pipeline, and then it drains your storage tank. And all those things are very costly to refill a 30,000-gallon storage tank, keep pumping the water. So it's a tough situation, and I feel sorry for the people in Mexico, because they're trying to escape the cartels and just get a good job. But if the cartels catch them coming this way, then they tell them if they don't pack these backpacks out that they will do away with them right there, and some of them get caught up in that. So it's a double-edged sword for them. If they get caught over there in Mexico, they're in trouble. They get caught over here, they get deported, and they've lost their money to the coyote that brought them up. So it's a tough situation.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Kimball, just to put this in perspective, how far are you away from Phoenix?
So 300 miles.
300 miles. So people point them, and these coyotes point them in the direction of Phoenix and say, walk 300 miles.
No, they point them at the direction of Portal, Arizona, which is about 12 miles to the north of me down at the point of the mountain.
Oh, I see.
And they tell them, there's Phoenix, Arizona, right down there. If you guys can make it 12 more miles, you'll be in Phoenix.
Oh, I see.
And when they get that far and find out that it's just Portal, Arizona, and there's nothing there but Border Patrol looking around to catch them, it's kind of a tough deal, and they've spent their money and time and effort not getting anywhere.
Yeah. And
I work with a group formed by the Arizona cattle growers. It's called the Border Working Group, that's pushing for different things to secure the border. And I think that's the biggest thing. If we secure the border, and then if we could get some kind of immigration act from Congress that made it possible for these people that want to come into the U.S. to go through the legal system and get a job, or get the right kind of papers to come get a job, then I think that would solve a lot of the problems of people coming across illegally. But I tried to help one guy. It's been 3 years ago now, and took him to an immigration lawyer in Tucson, and they told me it would cost $7,000 and would be between 10 and 12 years before he could get a green card to work in this country.
Right.
So that's really a good system. I mean, who's got the $7,000 to put up to start with and then wait for 10 years?
Right.
It's a horrible situation, and there needs to be some kind of immigration act that will make it easier. If they'd go back to the 50s and 60s when I was a young man and do something like that Bracero program again, where they could come up, get a permit to work for 90 days and go back, there wouldn't be the illegal traffic that we have today. They would be coming through a port of entry, paying a fee to come into this country and go to work, and probably, I think it would be fair, if they worked for 90 days, that they would have to pay into Social Security or pay some tax on their money, to where there was some kind of value given back to the United States for letting them come in to work. And by no means do I have all the answers, but as I ride my horse around and look at things, I think about it the way things used to be. And till 1988, we never locked our house. We had a commissary out back of the house that had all kinds of canned food in it, everything. We never locked our house, and the illegals would come through, and they knew who we were, and some of them would stop and mow your yard or do something for you for a meal.
Yeah.
But if we weren't there, they knew they could go in that commissary and get some canned food out, some canned tamales or Vienna sausages or crackers, anything. And there wasn't break-ins, and there wasn't the stealing and the robbing and stuff that goes on now. It's all changed around, and it's a whole different ball game today. And you have people coming just like the guy that shot Rob Krentz.
I think you make an important point, Mr. Kimball. I don't think that most of us tend to think of it in terms of the human suffering that goes on both sides of the border, not only for people like you that obviously have a burden that you shouldn't have, and for the poor people that are dragged over here and or brought over here under false pretenses and spend their life savings to get to a place that they're not going to get. And I think you're absolutely right that we need to come up with a reasonable immigration policy. And it's unfortunate that Congress is deadlocked these days, and we can't seem to move forward in any direction. And as a consequence, you suffer and they suffer, and we all suffer from that. Do you know why they stopped the Bisara program?
No, I don't. I wished I knew. It worked well, because I bet we used it for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked well. It just in 10 years, we had three different guys that worked for us. Three different guys, and they stayed with it 2 or 3 years apiece. And would go get renewed every 60 or 90 days, and they were good people. And my dad was a different kind of guy, but I think he's probably one of the greatest guys I ever knew. But he taught all of us kids that everybody is created equal. And because we live in the country that we live in, and we enjoy all the conveniences we have and stuff, that doesn't make us one bit better than the wetback that's coming across the line trying to make a better life for himself. He's just as good as you or I are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just was born and raised in a different environment, and Mexico is not a healthy environment now. About a month and a half ago, the cartels were fighting over control of Agua Prieta, because there's over 100,000 people in Agua Prieta, right across the border here. All the news channels said when the two cartels got there fighting about who was going to have control of Agua Prieta, they said that 6 cartel members were killed in the first battle that they had. Well, that's not so. I know 2 or 3 families that live over there that I see in Douglas on a regular basis. And it wasn't 6 people. It was between 60 and 70 people. Some of them were cartel members. Some of them were just civilians on the street in the wrong place at the wrong time. And when the cartel guys went off, they had 50 caliber machine guns, and they were shooting through the walls of homes and cars, and they killed between 60 and 70 people. And our press on the United States side said there were 6 people killed in a cartel battle on the Agua Prieta side of the border. And I don't know why our government can't recognize what a situation it is down there. We're fighting terrorism in Afghanistan and every place else over there. But we're being terrorized by the cartels down here who are shipping these kids up here, putting them through to us for something for us to deal with. While we're dealing with those kids, they're shoving their drugs through faster and faster.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dumb. They give us another problem to give that immigration service something else to work on. While they're working on taking care of these kids and stuff, the cartels are shoving their drugs through twice as fast. And we're being terrorized. bad by the people in Mexico. And the situation in Mexico is such that money talks and BS walks, and the money goes as high up wherever you need it to go, and the cartels have the money, so they basically get what they want.
Exactly.
We have the technology, and we have people down there that know where the headquarters are of the different cartels. And in Afghanistan, we drop a bomb over here trying to get Al-Qaeda, and send a drone over here and drop a bomb over here trying to get rid of Al-Qaeda. I don't know what the difference would be in the U.S. government talking frankly with the Mexican government and saying, look, listen, we're tired of being terrorized by the people that you're, being held hostage by, and we're fixing to get rid of them. And they could get rid of them if they wanted to. They know where they are, who they are, and we bomb those countries over there overseas and stuff where the terrorists are. The terrorists are all right down here below the border in these different compounds, and nothing happens there.
You know, Mr. Kimball, I'd like you to come back to something that you stated about, you know, one of my big things is I think also not having any kind of an immigration policy, you know, set in stone. You know, a lot of people claim that, well, you know, these Mexicans, and you know, there are other people other than Mexicans too. You know, there are people from Central America and on up that come to steal our jobs. But I think you said it before, a lot of these jobs that they take are not jobs that Americans want to do. I mean, working on a ranch is a very, very hard job. It's not an easy job. Working as a waitress or behind the kitchen. So what do you say to those people? You know, I've been listening to these ads, and they're like, you know, we're going to close the border, and these people are taking jobs away from Americans. I mean, do you feel that they are?
No, I don't. I have personal friends in Douglas that I graduated with from high school. And times got hard and things, people got laid off and different things. And those people came out and approached me for a job, wanted a job. I told them what the job entailed, what we'd be doing. They needed to be there at least by 6 in the morning. We'd be through by kind of 4 in the afternoon. I'd feed them lunch, and I told them what I'd pay them. And they said, hell, we're not going to do that. We can collect more money on unemployment than what we can make for you, so we're not going to do no job like that and have to show up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They won't do those jobs.
Right.
Every year, I go to Salinas, California, and that is one of the biggest farming areas up there, all down up and down the Salinas Valley. And there are more illegals there than you can I mean, shake a stick at. They are working everywhere, and I speak Spanish fairly well. And when I see different ones, I talk to them and stuff, and they're illegal. But they're out there picking strawberries, and they're picking tomatoes. They're doing the small handwork that can't be done by a machine. They're doing the backbreaking work of bending over, putting the tomatoes in baskets, carrying them to the big trucks, dumping them in there real easy. And they've got those jobs, and they're hoping that something will happen where they could get some kind of work visa, some kind of legal job where they didn't fear of getting caught and getting deported. But you look up and down that valley at all the small handwork that they have for the vegetables and the produce that they produce. And if that valley, if they went through and cleaned out all the illegals, there wouldn't be anybody there to harvest those crops.
That's right. And it would really impact.
I've got a friend in Roswell, New Mexico, and he has a dairy, and then he's got a lot of dairymen friends. And him and I were talking about the immigration issue one day, and he says, well, I'm glad we're far enough away from the border that the Border Patrol just doesn't really hammer on us, because if they ever came through here and raided our facilities all the way up and down, we couldn't operate because we can't get people out here to set things up to milk these cows at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But you can't get an American person to do that and do it for the wages that they're paying, and they are paying minimum wage, but the gringos, as I would call them, won't do those kind of jobs. So those job positions are being filled by the illegals that are up there. And those guys do a good job. And I'm going to tell you something about those people that come to work and want to work. They're loyal.
Mm-hmm.
They're loyal. Your deal becomes their deal. And they work hard. And people that say that by doing something to let them come in on a bracero program or something to come in and let them in legally, going to take jobs away from them, I would argue with every one of them, because you can't find people in the U.S. that would work for the minimum wage and do the work that they do. It's just not there.
Well, Mr. Kimball, are you ever asked, have you ever been invited by your state or federal or local legislature to come and testify
I've been to the governor's office in Phoenix a couple of times with the governor up there. I've mm-hmm. been to the legislature. Our border working group has gone and talked to those people. I don't know how many trips we made to Phoenix after Rob got killed, talking to the governor and trying to talk to the legislature and stuff. Earlier, Kathleen noted that John Kyle
McCain.
Senator
McCain, right?
McCain.
Senator McCain came.
All those guys, and I'm upset with those guys. They came down here. They could spend a half to two-thirds of a day, and they couldn't get out of here quick enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And I sat in meetings with those guys, and they were looking off. McCain came one day, and I wanted to just hit him with a spitball or something. He sat there and listened to everybody's comments, and then he would defer it to one of his aides to answer those questions. And the whole thing that he was there for was the photo op before he came into the meeting and when he was leaving the meeting. And I used to be kind of in favor of Senator McCain, but after I went to two or three meetings in Douglas that he came to, he's been there for political reasons only and photo ops. And I hate to say that, but it's just kind of the way it turns out.
Well, and we see that a lot, you know, living in Washington, D.C., you can imagine they all come for photo ops here, and they pose at our local restaurants. They go to our local schools. They do a lot of things, and that's congressmen, senators, the president of the United States. They all do this. And then beyond the photo ops, sometimes we don't see them at all. So we're very used to that. And I agree with you. It's not the right way to handle it. You know, people really need you to connect with them so that they can have the gain some of the understanding that you have in dealing with these problems every day. That's one of the reasons that Kathleen and I were excited about having you on the show, somebody that actually has to deal with this every day. And we're going to give you a little break here, and we're going to play a song so that we can all catch our breath. This goes out to you, Mr. Kimball, and all the hardworking people that make this such a great country. Here's one from Willie Nelson and our old friend Willie Nelson, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. All my heroes are cowboys.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days.
We're back with Don Kimble, who's a rancher, who has a lovely ranch, from what I understand, on the border of Mexico in Douglas, Arizona. And we're happy
New Mexico.
To... I'm sorry, New Mexico.
Awesome.
And we're happy to have Mr. Kimble with us. And I think you had a question for Mr. Kimble, didn't you, Kathleen?
Yes, I did. We were kind of talking during intermission. And, you know, when I was growing up, in Douglas, there was always drugs. It was just a way of life. But I would kind of say it's like the old Italian mafia, that, you know, there was an honor among thieves. They didn't go after families. They didn't go after children or women. But it's changed a lot. It's changed since I've come back. I've seen a totally different type, you know, of criminal, if that's something I can say. And I guess my question to you is, how do you find it more dangerous? Is it a more dangerous place living out where you are? And what have you come across that has, you know, would be able to say that, yes, it is?
Well, it's more dangerous for sure, because the cartels, when they send their drugs up here, they send them by way of backpackers. And there'll be 15 to 18 backpackers that are led by a fellow that's carrying an AR-15 or an AK-47 or some kind of automatic weapon. And when I see them, I turn and go the other way. I'm not going to try to stop them, because I'm not law enforcement. I might have a little 38 pistol in my shaft pocket to shoot snakes with or something, but it's no match for what they carry. And we can call ICE or call Border Patrol or whatever. Sometimes they get there in time to catch them. Sometimes they don't. The rules of whether or not they're backpacking it, they can throw their backpacks down, and if they get 100 yards away from the backpacks and they catch the packers, they're 100 yards away from it, and they can say, well, I wasn't doing that. That part's all a mess, but the people carrying automatic weapons and going up and down, normally they come in and try to go out without being seen or noticed, but they are armed and armed well. And then occasionally you get a renegade that comes and he's still armed and stuff, and he'll go through and rob a couple of houses on the way back to Mexico, or may steal your vehicle if you find the keys in it and take off in it. And if you unlucky enough to run on to one like that, stealing your vehicle and taking off that's armed that well, it would be a bad situation. So it is definitely more dangerous than it's ever been before. Our border working group, we've been doing this since Rob got killed. We've just had the same message that we've tried to put through, and we talked to different people and did different things. We want to see them secure the border. But then the next thing we need to do to secure the border and get along with the people. People have come into the U.S. legally since it's been the United States. We're the melting pot of the world with people coming in.
Yeah.
The thing that they're not realizing, it's not just Mexicans that are coming across this border.
That's right.
We've had Chinese at our house before. There's been people that left the Koran and stuff on some ranches and left papers like Al-Qaeda to be reading and stuff on different ranches. It's been dropped off, and it's a vast border. It's very porous. The Border Patrol has a job that's almost undoable. They need more help. needs to be someone every 10 feet or something to secure the border, but our border working group wants to see the border secure first and then an immigration policy put in force that to a normal Mexican person that's coming out of Mexico that wants to come in, he doesn't have to pass the college entrance exam or something. It needs to be simple enough for him to understand, or get somebody to help him understand, help him fill out the forms, and come into the country legally. But the people in agriculture would be behind a policy like that, because they could get laborers that were here wanting to work, wanting to make their money. They don't necessarily, I bet 70% of them don't want to come and live in the United States all the time. They got homes and farms and little ranches in Mexico, but they're not quite making it on them, so they want to come up here and work and get some money to go back. But if those people could come in legally and go back legally and work it back and forth, it would be good. But waiting 10 years to get a green card and $7,000 to go through the process of getting it, that's so prohibitive. Who's going to be able to do that?
Well, I don't think... I'm sorry, Kathleen. I don't think a lot of people understand that, and I think you're absolutely right, Mr. Kimball, that my mother's parents came here from Italy for the same reason. They came through Ellis Island, and there was legal immigration for them to get in the country. But they came for the same reason that the people you're talking about are coming. They came to find a better life. Because they couldn't make it anymore where they were. And I think and America was the great land of opportunity, and we're certainly seeing this now with all these children that are being dumped here. How desperate an act is that for you to bring your child and dump it in a foreign country? Kathleen and I had a woman named Louise Wachu on a few weeks ago that talked about this very issue. But I think you're absolutely right. Most of these people don't want to stay here. And I think that's a fallacy that we have, that everybody's trying to sneak into the country. I think they're just trying to do what people have always tried to do, and that is find a better way to feed themselves when
just
things
like
aren't
Salinas, gonna... California, that I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
Those people, that's seasonal work. And if they could get a permit to go up there and work for 3 months or 4 months, whatever they needed to do to turn some of those crops out, if they were on an annual basis with the same employer, and the employer knew he was going to be able to get them and get the paperwork right and stuff, and those people could pay some tax or pay enough money to come in that it made income for the U.S. There's ways to do it, but I'm a college graduate. I taught at the college out west of Douglas, at Cochise College, and I'm by no means smarter than anyone else and don't think I am. But there are ways to do this, and the people that have worked hard enough to get themselves elected to Congress and stuff are smarter than I am, and they ought to be able to see
that.
And I get really upset that they can't put an immigration program together, and that we don't have a president that's smart enough to support it either.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The one thing I want you to talk a little bit about is that, so in the program that you're thinking with this Bracero program, it's basically being, you feel like, offered to the Mexican people who live in Mexico because it's so close, and because there could be that kind of loyalty where they could always return. And the one thing that I think people don't understand, a lot of times when you say, I'm for securing the border, there's a lot of liberals who feel that, oh my gosh, you're against the Mexicans. You don't believe in the melting pot. We are all not all, none of us were true Americans. I think what they're missing the point is that you have to secure the border to be able to allow the good people, the good ones who want to work and appreciate having a job and don't want to do harm to the United States. Because I remember, I think this might have been 4 years ago, the statistic that I'm going to use, in that in a month, out of 8,000 people who were caught going through the Mexican border through Douglas, you know, the Douglas area, 8,000 were caught. Of that, 2,000 were then other than Mexicans, and we're not talking Central Americans, we're talking Afghanistans. And like you said, you know, finding this Al-Qaeda riding, you know, they're Russians, they're Pakistanians, and they're people who are not necessarily friendly to the United States. And
no, they're not friendly to the United States, and how did they get clear to Mexico to come up here?
Exactly.
Someone financed them to do that.
Well, in defense of liberals... I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Kimmel.
They're not here to do good for this country.
No.
Right. Well, and I think it goes both ways, and that's the problem that we have, that Kathleen's absolutely right about a secure border, and that liberals have to understand that, and conservatives have to understand that without, as you pointed out, Mr. Kimball, without a decent immigration policy, without an immigration policy that allows these honest, hardworking people some way to get into the country legally, pay taxes, be part of our economy, which they are anyway, we also do a great disservice to ourselves. So we've got to bring those two sides together. And if you're out there listening to us right now, I wish, and you have an idea or a question for Mr. Kimball, I wish you would call in, because we'd really like to hear from you. I think that the crux of what Kathleen and I are trying to do on this show is to start a dialogue. And it's great that we're having a dialogue with Mr. Kimball. But if you're out there and you have a question or an idea, please call us at 888-627-6008.
Or Skype us at BBS Radio 1 if you don't want to come on the air. The other thing, too, that, you know, is one of the impacts of this whole crossing over is the environmental impact to the country. I mean, for most people in the audience that may not have visited this area, this is probably, don't they consider it one of the best wild or bird refugees in the United States or in Northern America, the area that your ranch is in, Mr. Kimball?
Yeah, there's bird watchers and people like that come from miles around to get down to Portal and watch the different kind of birds and birding season, and they want to get all over and look.
And I think even the Museum of Natural History in New York has a, I mean, I went to their facility where you can even spend the night, and it's all about the environment. Do you find with all the human trafficking that is occurring that it's impacted the environment in a negative way?
There are the different places these people have stopped. There are, all the human hygiene stuff that they have, women's hygiene stuff, everything that they use, it's disposed of. They've got things that they pack and they get to that place, but they leave it. And they can bring in diseases. They can bring in things that aren't good for our cattle. They can bring in stuff that's not good for the crops. You don't know what they're bringing. You, in some cases, you find hypodermic needles. You find different things that they've left. One day I saw a group of guys running, and they were running hard, and they were carrying something, and I could see them going, and when they had to stop, it was a pretty good barbed wire fence. They had to stop, and they threw down what they had, opened the gate, and kept running. I went over there, and what they had was starting fluid, ether.
Wow.
Mm. And they were squirting that up their nose so they could run and get further. That, all that kind of stuff is scattered around. And there's
and are you
places.
Are you responsible for cleaning that up? I mean, does the government come in and help you clean that up?
No, the government doesn't clean it up. The government, they'll leave what those people have. I had one officer that had come here from Texas on an assignment, and he'd come here, and he was only going to be here like 6 weeks. And he came and picked up a woman at our house that was sore-footed and thirsty and dehydrated. We fed her, and she was a nice person. We fed her, and I talked to her, and she ate and drank. This guy came and picked her up, and he treated her almost, I almost thought like an animal. Took all of her possessions, dumped them on the ground, dumped everything out of the little purse she had and out of her back and everything, and she was looking at it. She was already just about in tears. He got her gathered up, put her in the truck, and started to get in the truck and leave. And here's all of her personal items laying on the ground. And it had gone all over me, and I said, you just wait a minute. You're going to pick all that stuff up. You're not going to dump that stuff in my front yard and leave it here. And I made him pick it up. But a lot of other places where they pick them up and nobody's there, they make them drop the contents that they have, and that's where we get a lot of stuff left.
I heard also there were things that were affecting the cattle. Like, I don't know if it was, you know, they had plastic.
Plastic bags. Plastic bags. A cow will find a plastic bag and she'll eat it. She sees it flapping, tied to a bush, and she'll eat it. Goes in her stomach, and then it stops up her digestive tract, and she dies. And she saw her, and she was a healthy animal, and 2 weeks later, she's dead. And if you post her and do an autopsy, she's got a plastic bag in her.
Yeah, I know that's a problem with marine life, too. I know that
those things are floating around, and the other part of it that anybody hates to mention, there's a place there in the Cherokees that has all kinds of women's underwear and stuff left around there, and that's the rape tree. And coyotes and stuff that are bringing men and women through, the men go on and take off and stuff, and they'll hold the women there and rape the women and then let them go and turn them whichever way they want to go. But it's just an inhumane situation.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Kimmel, what about the Border Patrol and ICE and the other people that have responsibility for policing this area? They're just overwhelmed by this? Is that the problem? There's just too much area to cover and not enough people and too many people coming in? Are they doing a good job, in your opinion? Or
they're doing the best they can, I think. But the area is too big. There's the amount of vegetation, the mosquitoes, the brush. There's all kinds of little draws where the water runs and stuff. And you might see some illegals over there about a quarter of a mile, but you might have to cross 7 or 8 little ravines to get over there, and by the time you get over there, they're gone.
Right.
And especially if they've been through there before, they know where to go and how to go, and they've got a thankless job, and they're outnumbered. And I don't know if it's true, but I've heard at different times by a few different ones that they're only supposed to catch so many. If they catch so many and catch a quota, then they can say, well, we caught 8,000 this month, and the month before we'd caught 15,000, so there's less coming. And I have heard that they've been told by the Department of Homeland Security in some cases to groups that were close to let them go. I don't know if that's true or not, but I feel like that. I know a lot of guys in the Border Patrol that are trying to do the best they can do, and they've got a job that I wouldn't want to do. I mean, it's an overwhelming job and a dangerous job.
Are most of them young? Mr. Kimball, or do they tend to be like new recruits and kind of, you know, young? Or do
most
you find them?
Most of them are young.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are young, and they come from back east or come from the Midwest and get out here to the West, and it's way less population and a bigger landscape and something they're not used to, and it's hard for them to get it, and they get sent out the first time to go do something, and half the time they can't find where they're supposed to go to. I think it's just one of those things, and you get the older guys that have been with it quite a while. They know where the trails are, and they know the guys that have been here a while know to come talk to us and say, where's your heaviest traffic been? And you can take them and show them a trail and show them the tracks. Well, then they can start working that trail and working on it and catching them. But some of them, well, I know a lot of them, they don't want to mess with us because they think that we don't know anything about what's going on. I've lived here all my life, and I know the places where they go and how they get through. They won't stop and take time to talk to a rancher or a farmer that could give them some good information. The good ones that know what they're doing will do that.
Right.
Well, how big is your ranch? How big is your ranch?
The Kimball Ranch there at Apache has 32,000 acres in it.
32,000 acres, wow.
32,000. And, you know, it's just beautiful, beautiful country, that whole area. It's just breathtaking, and you don't get that much tourism. I mean, there are people that go there for the birds, for the bird watching and all that. But it's just God's country. It's just gorgeous. And you've been there a little bit, Michael. We didn't take you to the Wonderland of Rocks or over on that side. But so, you know, it sounds to me, again, here is the whole reason why we have this show, is that Americans have got to start getting involved. You obviously are involved in what is going on. Your frustration is that you're not being heard. I'm sitting here watching, you know, ad after ad, campaign ad, about, and the first thing everyone says is, this guy is a good guy because he's going to secure the border, and yet they don't tell you how they're going to do it. I think what has to happen, and what has to be a movement among the people, because it's not going to happen. I mean, first of all, we have to make sure we know who we're electing. We have to vote, and we have to get involved, because, you know, what you say just makes common sense. It just is what we're talking about, reaching a common ground where you talk to the people who live there, who have ideas, and these politicians have got to start understanding that we pay their salary, they work for us, they need to come, they need to hear people like you. And when you guys go up there to Phoenix, and I mean, you know, I've seen it, I worked in politics, it drives me crazy, where these guys then think that because they're elected, somehow they have become removed from the common populace, and they don't have to listen to you. So if something like that happens, we have to get involved and say, this is not the guy, the best guy for Arizona. I mean, I think McCain has been in there too long. He doesn't have a sense of what Arizona, the rural Arizona, is about. He knows Phoenix, and Phoenix kind of rules Arizona, but this has got to stop. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
He's been at it too long.
Yes.
Well, we've got to sign off now. We're almost at the end of our show. We were going to discuss a few other things that are going on in the world today, like what's going on in Missouri and some of the other things that are going on in America. But we had such a rare opportunity to talk to Mr. Kimball that we wanted to keep him on. We hope you'll come back sometime, Mr. Kimball, as we progress, and visit us again. Thank you so much for being on. I think the things you have to say are so important. They're such an important part of the conversation, and we really appreciate you taking time to illuminate this situation and educate the people that listen to our show. Kathleen, as always, I'm going to give you the last word because you always get the last word anyway. Go ahead.
I'd just like to thank you, Mr. Kimball, and maybe give you the last word. Is there anything you would like to say in about 20 seconds to our audience?
Well, I think you're going to find most of the people in agriculture that are here, we're still going to be here, and we want to finish out our life here but we'd like to finish it out in a safe manner, in a manner that works for all of us, in a way to secure the border and get along with Mexico and make an immigration system that works. The one we have isn't working, and if we could get one that works, it would help out the Mexican people as well as help out the United States, and it would make it a lot easier to secure the border. If we had an immigration program that worked, there wouldn't be so many people try to come through illegally.
Well,
and I hope you hear that, Congress, because I don't think it could be said any better. Thank you, Mr. Kimball.
Exactly what I was going to say. No way better to lead the show than what Mr. Kimball had to say. Thank you.
We'll see you next week, America. All right. Thank you. We'll see you next week, America. Thanks for listening.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.